I got a chicken sandwich out of it. Yes, I did. And yes, it was sloppy. It was messy, but it was delicious. Steve, that doesn't make any sense. Have Arian sit up there in isolation. I mean, if he's going to do that, I might as well visit him and bring some popcorn to him. Yay.
Buccaneers fans, the sage of Tampa Bay sports is here. The Baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast, presented by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, and home of the nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. That's right, used vehicles. BillCurryFord.com. That's the family name. C-U-R-R-I-E. 61 plus years. Right there, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side on Dale Mabry Highway. Ira, you are in full summer mode, fired up for training camp. I don't think I've ever heard you so fired up for training camp, but you should also be fired up for Bill Curry Ford and these new custom order benefits for 2023 if you want a new vehicle. You can do that right now at BillCurryFord.com. No deposit required. They're going to give you a $500 gift card just for placing the order. And absolutely, you can build your vehicle. You're going to have a concierge setup where you're going to get all the help you need. And don't settle. Get the color you want, the trim, options, whatever you need. Start your custom order right now at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, you know Bill Curry Ford. You drive that 2020 Cherry Red Ford Escape. And anybody can get their own 2023 Cherry Red Ford Escape. Do it right now. BillCurryFord.com. GM Sean Sullivan is fired up. The host of the Best in Class podcast at JoeBucksFan.com. He's the Joe Bucks Fan Draft Guru. He's going to help you personally with whatever you need. Just reach out to him by email, phone, or at the dealership. Sean Sullivan, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, we're fired up to, it's getting closer where fans can reach out and touch you. Not just at training camp, where you love to shake hands and mingle, but coming up this season, we're going to be announcing the dates soon to watch some ball games with you, road games, at where else? Big Storm Brewery in Clearwater, 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton Road. Are you excited, Ira?
Looking forward to it, my man. We've had a great time there. It's been a great partnership. If they don't already own the craft beer industry in the Tampa Bay area, they will soon. They're that good. I can't wait to get back out there. Training camp's around the corner, Steve. We're a couple of weeks away. The Bucks are favored to win the NFC. There's a lot of interesting storylines. Once again, I anticipate a whole host of national writers coming in from Peter King, Judy Batista. You know, we know the drill. And they come in. They stay a day or two. They talk to Jason Light. They talk to Brady. They'll talk to Bowles. The Bucks remain a very, very intriguing, interesting team, and they will as long as number 12 is under center. I am anticipating one heck of a training camp, Steve.
Well, Sage, that announcement for you at Big Storm is going to be special this year because that you're going to be hitting the road, not just to Clearwater on 49th Street, but right in your neighborhood in Pasco County at their tap room on Success Drive off State Road 54. A couple of watch events there right in your backyard, Ira. And the new location for Big Storm is going to be open in Ybor City, their biggest one yet, and fantastic. The food is so good. And, of course, we'll get you out to Ybor probably once or twice late in the season, which is really exciting. So, for now, fans can get their Big Storm beer at all the sorts of local establishments, at Publix, and right at the tap rooms. Get to BigStormBrewery.com to pick out your beer that you want to try, and, of course, to get the hours of all the tap rooms, their live music, etc. All right, Sage, now look, let's get into some football here because we've had a non-development on the Rob Gronkowski front. And what that means, and of course it's going to go on like this for months and months, but the first development, non-development, is Gronk spoke out to various media types at a promotional event for one of his business ventures. And he said, hey, look, I'll take Tom Brady's call, but I'm done with football. You know, I am done. I am excited about my next life and all that stuff. And Derek Brooks, Ira, your friend, was on the radio, and he joined legions of Bucks fans in basically saying and sort of chuckling, saying, yeah, I'm sure he's telling the truth now, but I still don't believe him. Even though Gronkowski doubled down on his retirement, it seems everybody else is doubling down on not believing him. Where do you stand on that, Ira?
Well, I got to admit, Steve, it has affected my Gronk meter. I was at 90% that he was coming back. And now I'm at 40 to 50. I mean, I am. Anybody else, I'd be 90% that he's not coming back. But it's Gronk and it's Brady. And it's tough to say no to Tom Brady. And you know Brady talks to him all the time, Steve. Not a week goes by when they're not having a conversation. And it's probably a one-way conversation. When the hell are we going to see you, Gronk, in Tampa? I need you. I absolutely need you. And he does, Steve. He does. Brady's telling the truth. And this organization needs him. Look, I talked to Coach Arians a month ago and asked him about what if Gronkowski doesn't come back. And he said, quote, well, it's a step back without question. Steve, that might be an understatement. We've talked on this show many times how important Gronkowski is as a future Hall of Famer, not just as the red zone target, but, Steve, especially as a blocker, and you got all these other retread tight ends that people are talking about. We'll get into that. You know, they're poor facsimiles of Rob Gronkowski. Steve, you know, even if the guy comes back like in November or December, that's not ideal. What kind of shape is the guy going to be in? There's something called football shape, you know, and you can lift all the weights you want, but he's not in football shape. So you got to wonder how much can he help him. There's this whole scenario Buck fans are now clinging to. He'll come in with 6 weeks left in the regular season for the playoff run. And well, Steve, that sounds good. It sounds good, but I don't know how practical it is. At this point, we'll all be shocked if he showed up for training camp. I mean, that would be a shocker. So it looks like that's beyond the pale. I'll tell you what, I don't want to take the guy at his word because I know what it would mean to this organization. But Steve, let's remember, he did sit out a year in 2019. He didn't play. He said he wasn't going to play, and he didn't play. So he's already done it once. It's unfortunate, but this could be the second time around.
Well, there are two key factors, Ira. You said he won't be able to resist Brady. Well, I'll counter that with he'll be able to resist Brady if he's out of shape. Right, Brady's not going to want him to come back at 240 pounds, which is what Gronk had dropped to at one point the last time he retired. So I think a big tell here is going to be any video and pictures that emerge of Gronk in mid-September. What does he look like? Does he look like he's down 15 pounds? Is he on the beach somewhere and looking like he hasn't been hitting the weights? Tell number two, Ira, though, was this gem that came out the other day. And I'm you know how this media stuff works, Ira. You know, and when I say that, I mean, you know, you and I and Lee, we know what we can sift through to figure out what's BS on a certain level when it comes to reports, because we sort of know how the game is played. Now, this was Wednesday morning on ESPN's top radio show in the morning, which is Keyshawn Johnson, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is the name of the show. And they brought on Diana Russini, the NFL insider, one of their handful. And they're talking about Gronk. And Keyshawn is saying, I'm not talking about Gronk. I am not getting baited into talking about this story every day. He's done. If he comes back and maybe they find something for him, if he's in shape, maybe I'll deal with it then. But I'm not playing the game of getting caught to try to keep this story alive. Okay. But she still did her report. And she said, guys, quote, Gronk isn't healthy. And she said that plays a big part in why he was talking so openly Tuesday, the day before she was on the air. And she said, quote, I did reach out to some people with the Buccaneers organization to just see if they were buying it, meaning Tuesday's comments from Gronk that I'm done. And she said they are buying it. They believe Gronk really is done. She's talking about the Bucs officials. And then she says, well, but I feel like it's important to add that there could be a situation where, and some believe maybe late in the season, that Gronk, if he feels well, if he's healthy, that he comes back. And then she reemphasized that the health is a real thing. And anybody who's close to Gronk says he's not the same guy. He's not healthy. And he's not coming back unless he really feels like he's healthy and an elite tight end, the best on the field. So you know what happens, Ira. She saw the report. Tuesday afternoon, she reaches out to whoever she knows of the Bucs. What's the deal? I'm going on the air tomorrow morning. Is this real? What do you think? And they tell her. So you think Gronk's hurt?
Steve, that was a very good breakdown. You're right. That's the way it happens. When you get a report, you immediately call your sources, if you have any, on that particular team, and you tend to trust what they tell you. Look, I'm not doubting what Russini is saying in terms of Bucks personnel in their conversations with her. Do I think he's hurt? No, I don't think he's hurt any more than he is at the end of any season. Steve, I haven't seen any evidence that Gronk's hurt. I don't believe he required a procedure. He could have had one in February if he needed one. Did he tweak his knee, an ankle, a shoulder? I haven't heard anything about a procedure with Rob Gronkowski. I tend to downplay the injury factor, Steve. I think he's worn out from football mentally. And I think no matter what Brady does, Steve, I think now it's going to be a tough ask. It's going to be a challenge for Brady. And I'm not putting a lot of stock into this dramatic, appearance in December. You don't see that very often around the NFL, Steve. It doesn't happen very often. And you mentioned, is he going to be in shape? I think that's a big factor. So we're going to know pretty soon, Steve, because the latest rumors beyond Diana Russini is that the Bucks are interested in at least one veteran tight end. I think there's at least two or three out there that Buck fans are familiar with. So we might as well get into it, Steve. Kyle Rudolph is the guy that's been mentioned. He could come back to the Vikings. He played 10 years there. He went to the Giants. Steve, his stint in New York, it was a disaster. First of all, I believe he had a foot injury that the Giants didn't know about. Then he wasn't productive. They cut him in a salary cap move. And Steve, he hasn't been very good for the last two or three years. He just hasn't. He's 32 and he looks 32. He made two Pro Bowls with the Vikings. I think he caught 10 touchdown passes one season or 8 touchdowns. But, Steve, that's a long time ago. That's 5 years ago. He can't block like Gronkowski. You got Jared Cook. Steve, I'll tell you this right now. If, for whatever reason, Jared Cook becomes a Buccaneer, when he comes out for the home opener, the Bucs should give Jared Cook a standing ovation. And you know why, Steve. Because Jared Cook, as a member of the New Orleans Saints, made the single biggest play of the Buck championship postseason. When he coughed up that football, the Saints already had 7 points and driving. And without that fumble, there's a good chance the Bucks are eliminated in the second postseason game. And I don't think Cook's got much left. And then you got Eric Ebron. And let's face it, Steve, he's a former first-round pick. The guy is amazing. He caught 13 touchdown passes for Indianapolis. 13. I mean, that is a huge number, especially for a tight end. And then he dropped out of sight. You know, he played one more year for them. They didn't want him. And he's drifted on. He's drifted on. He's a former first-round pick. So, Steve, what I'm saying, when you sum it all up, there are no substitutes for Rob Gronkowski. You throw those three guys out there, I might rather play K-Dot.
Well, Sage, look, I have to give Rudolph a little bit of a break. Last year, and this may be a first, Ira, in NFL history, and I'm not even joking about this, okay? Not even joking. This is how bad it was in New York last year. 6 starts for the Giants last year were made by a combination of Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm. Now, what makes it unique, Ira, is that Mike Glennon and Jake Fromm currently do not have jobs in the NFL. So when's the last time a team had two guys who made more than one start, and the following year, those guys who did not retire don't even have a spot in training camp somewhere for another team? That's how bad it was. And Daniel Jones is obviously a lower tier NFL quarterback. So I'm going to give Rudolph a bit of a break. The team clearly was imploding. Coach was on his way out. So I'm going to give him a little bit of a break there. Even with the foot issues and some of the issues there, he played 16 games. I don't know if he can play, but I wrote this, Ira. Back in 2012, the Bucs brought in Dallas Clark, a guy who had sort of a similar type career to Rudolph, although he played on better teams, but a similar kind of career. And Clark came in and caught 30-something balls from Josh Freeman and a few touchdowns and nobody thought he was just collecting a paycheck. And, you know, he played pretty well and he retired after that. That's not Gronk numbers, but if Rudolph could come in and give him 30 catches for 325 yards and a few touchdowns, and Cameron Brait can do the same thing, then, you know, combination, maybe they can replace Gronk a little bit, not in the blocking game, but, you know, if you got a good blocking tight end, maybe that's not so bad at the position overall.
You might be right, Steve. I mean, combined, they might catch 50 balls combined, you know, for 537 yards and five or six touchdowns combined. But Gronk also, Steve, brings some intangibles, the confidence that Brady has in him, the that he inspires in his teammates, and that's incalculable, and the blocking. Because, Steve, let's remember, up until 2020, if I'm looking at the 2019 Bucks, and that's the year, I think, didn't Winston throw for 5,000 yards that year?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So they didn't have much of a ground game in 2019. Ronald Jones hadn't established himself. They didn't have Fournette. So what I'm saying is 2020 rolled around. Here comes Gronkowski. Now, I will hasten to add, that's the year that Tristan Wirfs came aboard. So we can't discount that. But I think it's the combination. It's the tandem of Wirfs and Gronkowski that really re-energized a dormant ground game. And I'm giving Wirfs all the credit in the world, Steve. He's great, but so is Gronkowski. And you put those guys side to side on the right side, and you got one hell of a force. And they run very well off the left side, too. I mean, let's be honest. Marpet got better. Smith's played better. All of a sudden, they're a pretty good running team when they run, Steve. They don't run that often. But when they run, they're pretty effective. Gronkowski's been a big part of that. You know, none of these guys, Ebron, Cook, Rudolph, none of them are known as a blocker. I mean, let's be honest, they're not.
Sage, I got to give you credit. I got to give you credit for a fantastic point that I think most Bucks fans overlook. And that's Sage. Sage has to get his props. I know he loves when I give them to him because I'm a little stingy with the love here. But Ira, it's a great point because back in 2019, the Bucks didn't have Gronk and they were the leading pass offense in the National Football League. Number one in yards and overall the offense was third. The interceptions were the interceptions, and that we know the whole story there. But they didn't have Gronk, and they didn't have superior tight end play. They had Cameron Brait catching 36 balls for four touchdowns, and they had O.J. Howard catching 34 balls for one touchdown. And at the end of the year, Bruce Arians was asked about O.J. Howard toward the end of that season, and his answer was, and it was against the Falcons, and he said, man, that was probably O.J.'s best blocking game of the season. And it was a meaningless kind of game. The Bucks were already out of it, and that he wasn't really in there to block like that. So they didn't get much from tight end, and they were still able to be dominant on the offensive side of the ball. And I'm guessing Leftwich and Jason Light are well aware that they may not actually need that kind of presence to get the production they're looking for.
Absolutely, Steve. And if Gronk doesn't come back, in a way, you could argue for the people that say, you know, Brady's not going to lead the league in pass attempts anymore. That's crazy for a guy who's his age. Steve, if Gronk doesn't come back, although it takes a weapon away, a red zone weapon and a prominent one, Steve, you could argue in a sense that without Gronkowski, the run game's not going to be as good. And so in that sense, Brady might throw even more passes. I mean, it's possible. If Godwin comes back and if Gage isn't injured and you've got Evans, you understand my point. If the ground game's going nowhere, then there's no reason to think Brady's not going to throw another 700 passes.
Sure. Well, if the ground game's going nowhere, then the offensive line is extraordinarily overrated and Byron Leftwich would be completely overrated as a guy scheming some runs. So I would be very, very disappointed if the ground game goes nowhere. Now, I don't expect it to be off the charts fantastic, but if they don't have at least an average NFL ground game and Fournette's not averaging at least 4 yards a carry, there's a serious problem, Ira.
No question about it.
And Sage, Florida's Elite Restoration, this is the time of year, storm season, all kinds of stuff going on. And if you get fire, mold, flood, storm damage, whatever it might be, your first phone call, after you call 911, if that's what it takes, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are the premier restoration company after you've had a disaster in the Tampa Bay area. Call them up 24/7. They'll get out to your house. They'll break out all of their A-list high-tech equipment, thermal imaging cameras. They'll figure out what's going on, where the leaks are coming from, where the mold is growing, whatever it is that's going on, and they'll give you a full assessment. And if you go ahead with their service and you let them know you're from Joe Buck's fan or you listen to the Ira Kaufman podcast, they're going to give you $500 back. And maybe that's money that you use toward your insurance deductible, or maybe it's just cash off the order that that you place with them to repair something or to restore a room or you know, fix a flood that you had under your sink. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Ira, I know you don't call anybody else. It's on your refrigerator. You've told your friends. You know people that have used them. Florida's Elite Restoration. They are fully endorsed by the Sage.
Josh runs a tight ship over there, Steve. He's got a heck of a crew. They're honest. We had a big storm come through here yesterday, Steve. You got heat, humidity. Now you add water. It can cause all kinds of problems. If you can even think at all that you might have an issue, mold, fire, damage, call Florida's Elite Restoration. That should be your first phone call, Florida's Elite Restoration. Steve, speaking of Leftwich, and I know you were going to get around to it, so I might preempt you on this, but I did have an opportunity, Steve, to talk exclusively to Mr. Derek Brooks the other day. He was in Tampa to announce a joint partnership between Derek Brooks Charities and PDQ Restaurants. And may I add, Steve, and I know you will not be shocked and you'll not drop the phone.
How many chicken tenders, Ira? How many? Come on.
I had a chicken sandwich. I got a chicken sandwich out of it, Isbitz. Yes, I did.
Fries? How many fries?
No. They put it in a bag, and I went to my car, and I devoured it. I absolutely devoured it. And yes, it was sloppy. It was messy, but it was delicious. Absolutely delicious, Steve. So anyway, talking to Derek Brooks, when he made a lot of points, and he's bullish on the Bucks. I believe this is the day before the Gronkowski comments came to light. So he was also even more adamant that he thought Gronk would come back. But, Steve, he's kind of focused two things on the coaching side. One, I thought it was interesting that he called Bowles' tenure in New York a rebuilding job. I'm not sure Jet fans looked at it that way in 2016. But in Brooks' eyes, certainly he didn't have the quarterback. He didn't have maybe the structure in place from an ownership standpoint to succeed. He didn't have the roster talent. So now he's very, very interested that Bowles can put his stamp on a contending team. But Steve, even more importantly, he's focused on Byron Leftwich. And Brooks is looking hard at Byron Leftwich. And with the transition of Bruce Arians from head coach to now advisor, he agreed with me that if the Bucks are successful, Steve, and this is a hard point to argue against, if the Bucks are successful, deep playoff run, prolific offense, again, then I think Leftwich, in his interviews after the year, will be looked at differently in a more positive light from a Leftwich perspective, because in Brooks's terms, Steve, and I know you looked at this word that he used, and it might have made you go back a little bit. He used the word autonomy, Steve. Autonomy. It's a strong word.
It was a very strong word, Ira. Very strong. Now, this is your column. People can go back to read it at joebucksfan.com. I did not a double take, but I reread it a couple of times because I was like, wait a minute. Brooks, who knows this team inside and out, who doesn't even keep quiet that he speaks regularly to Devin White, one of the captains, and Levante David. One of the captains. And obviously, you know, he's got a relationship with others at One Buck. I think it's very strong for him to say autonomy as it relates to Leftwich when there was so much debate as to who was sort of in charge of the offense. Arians, Brady, Leftwich. When I read that, Ira, my first thought is, well, I mean, what about Tom Brady? Does Tom Brady being there really give Leftwich a lot of autonomy? I was confused.
Strong point, Steve, in terms of Brady still being there. And you still have to tailor the offense to Brady. But you looked at it the way I looked at it, and we both basically came away saying, well, he's got to be talking about the Arians factor. It's got to be about Arians. And Steve, before any Buck fans that are listening to this, the thousands that listen to this on a regular basis, before they go crazy and say, now wait a minute, maybe this means that those reports are right, that Arians was coming in late in the week and ripping up the offensive playbook. No, I don't think in any manner Brooks was trying to imply that. No, let's not go there, Steve. What it does mean is that Arians was involved. And now he's not going to be involved, Steve. He's not going to be in those meetings. He's not going to be in the quarterback meeting. He'll answer questions if asked. He's not even going to be on the field, Steve, during the games. So let's be clear about Arians' reduced role. And let's not think for a minute that he's going to be hopscotching everywhere from room to room. Now, the guy that will be in every room is Bowles, Steve. This is Bowles' second time around. And damn it, if he's not going down without a fight, if he's going to go down, and he's going to go down his way. But the difference is Bowles isn't going to interfere, Steve. He wants to be involved. He wants to be aware of what's going on between Brady and Leftwich. But he's not going to poke his nose in there too much. Steve, he's too smart for that. He's a defensive coach. Arians is an offensive coach. Everybody knows it. So in using that word autonomy, Steve, and I agree, it's a strong word, especially with Brady still being around. But it tells me Arians certainly had an impact on the offensive side of the ball, and now he won't. And that has to enhance Leftwich in the eyes of GMs and owners around the league. Steven, if the Bucks do well, you got to think Leftwich is going to get a job.
It's an interesting point, Ira. Now, I have a very important football question for you, Sage, that you just conjured up in my head, and I appreciate talking to you because it makes me think even deeper. You know, I feel like we're sitting around having a big storm beer, maybe a Bromosa, and we're just talking ball like we do so often. But Sage, I want to remind everybody, Bill Curry Ford, it is not a joke over there. You are going to get the Ira Kaufman discount. You're going to get personal service from Sean Sullivan, the general manager, the big boss. He's not just the sales general manager. He is in charge of the dealership. That includes service, their great body shop. I have unfortunately used Ira a couple of times. He's going to help you and get to BillCurryFord.com, see their transparent pricing, nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Order your vehicle today. They're going to give you money back immediately. Gift cards and all kinds of incentives. BillCurryFord.com. Ira, do you believe that when Bruce Arians is sitting up in the box, you know, one of the coach's boxes or wherever they have him stashed during a game, is he going to be wearing a headset, Ira? Because I think if you got a guy who's a brilliant offensive mind, he is the architect of the offense. He knows everything and everybody. He's been attached to the team, you know, and is going on his fourth year. Are you going to give Arians a headset? So if he wants to, he can say, hey, Byron, I'm seeing this. Why don't you do a Z-Right 56Y? That's my 2 cents. Are they going to give him a headset? And if they don't give him a headset, what does that say?
I think it would be a disservice, Steve, to Arians himself personally, and more importantly, to the organization, if they don't allow Arians to have some input during the game. They don't have to listen to him, Steve. They don't have to listen to his suggestions. Ultimately, Byron Leftwich will make the calls. But there's nothing wrong, Steve, and possibly could be helpful to have Arians in the ear of Bowles and Leftwich during game situations from a different vantage point. Sometimes you can see things from that upper level. And, Steve, it can't hurt. And if he's absolutely sitting in that booth, Steve, with no headset, no input, zero, you know, eating a Cuban sandwich, that's a problem. I don't think that's the way that Arians would like to do it. And I think, Steve, the relationship between Bowles and Arians is so strong in both directions that I would be a little bit surprised if Bowles doesn't lean on Arians a little bit and allow him to have some input with Leftwich. With the tacit knowledge, Steve, with the bottom line, hey, these are only suggestions. We appreciate it, but we're going to make the final call. Steve, that doesn't make any sense. Have Arian sit up there in isolation. I mean, if he's going to do that, I might as well visit him and bring some popcorn to him. But if he's not going to be saying anything, Steve, interesting point.
I think I think it's an important question, Ira. If he's sitting there with no headset, then what the hell's going on? Now, yeah. I think fans need to realize that the headsets have been more and more sophisticated. They can be programmed, and you know, he can be potentially only in the ear of Bowles. You know, they can set it up that way. You know, as far as his ability to communicate, doesn't mean he doesn't hear everything, but his ability to communicate could be limited to just Bowles or just Leftwich or multiple guys. So that's a gray area. But if he's sitting there, Ira, with no headset, with a, you know, a Bucks hat on, that would be awfully strange and awfully kind of telling for those who want to say that Brady was running him out.
Why not, Steve? Why not lean on all the experience that Arians has in so many different ways, receivers coach, offensive coordinator, head coach, a host of different roles. And Steve, saying that, you know, I'm not saying he should be in direct contact with Tom Brady.
When Tom Brady comes back to this.
You and I are not saying that.
Well, by league rule, the only guy who can communicate through the headset with the quarterback is the play caller. So that's not even an option.
Okay.
But interesting thought, Ira. Interesting thought. As far as the autonomy, you know, it's just it was a strong word by Brooks because he chooses his words very well. And I'm still not quite sure what to make of that. And as far as the perception of Leftwich in the league, I'm going to disagree, Ira. I'm going to disagree because I think ultimately the decision makers, the head coach hiring decision makers around the league are going to think Tom Brady is in charge. You know, I just think, yes, they would have. There's that layer of Bruce Arians is gone, but I think it's going to be hard to strip away Tom Brady from the equation, especially if Brady has a great year. If Brady has an okay year because his arm was failing him a little bit and you saw Leftwich sort of work around that and do some creative things and maybe get a little creative in the running, I think that would help Leftwich more than if Brady is the best quarterback in the league again.
Steve, it's interesting. Leftwich now has shed himself of Bruce Arians and the big shadow that Arians cast. And Steve, now you're suggesting, and maybe not wrongfully, Steve, that for Leftwich to get the full shot as a head coach candidate, he might have to get rid of Brady too, and you know, make it clear that this is now the Byron Leftwich show, Steve.
Yeah, so well, some way he has to coach around Brady. So maybe Brady's turns into Peyton Manning in his like Manning was his final year in his shot. But, you know, Leftwich's great coaching coaches around it and they are successful and they wins the Super Bowl. Or let's say Brady gets hurt for four games and Leftwich has Blaine Gabbert ready to kick some ass and the offense keeps humming. I think he needs something other than Tom Brady playing 17 games, throwing for 5,300 yards and being in the MVP conversation to separate himself from a guy like David Tepper, who's probably going to be hiring a new coach next year and wondering if Byron Leftwich is a proven commodity at 41 years old, coming out of the shadows of two greats.
Interesting point, Steve. You may not be wrong.
I don't know if I'm right, but I knowing how some of these owners, you know, really are into the perception game when they're hiring head coaches rather than who's the best X's and O's guy and leader, then, you know, it's going to be harder for Leftwich unless something unique happens. But obviously,
now, Josh McDaniels got a job. In fact, now he's on the second job, right? So,
yeah, but, look what he did with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, you can't question that.
Yeah.
So he had that benefit. You know, it's an interesting topic. And of course, we hope that Leftwich sticks around. And we hope that Brady sticks around, and Ira, and we'll get out of this podcast with this, Sage. Brady, now this is such classic manipulation and timing, and I've been dying to ask you what you think of this, Sage, and I hope while we're talking you don't have a disaster or a flood from that overstuffed sink of yours and that garbage disposal that you're constantly throwing pizza crust into, you know, because
chicken bones. Yeah, you're right.
Chicken bones, because I know you'd be on the phone immediately with who, Ira?
Well, Florida's Elite Restoration, my friend.
Absolutely. And don't forget, Bucks fans, Ira Kaufman listeners, tell them that you heard about their service, Florida's Elite Restoration, from the podcast or from the website. And if you need their services after your free assessment, then you will get $500 off for your deductible or just off a cash deal that you work out to make a major or minor repair. It's a fantastic offer, floridaselite restoration.com. Sage Brady, an interview was released yesterday, Thursday, with him for Variety Magazine. And okay, so Tom Brady sits down for Variety Magazine. He talks a little football. He talks a little fashion and business and all that stuff. Okay, very nice. But here's the thing, Ira. It was revealed in the Variety piece that he did the interview in May. May.
Yeah.
Now, you know that the writer of that piece and the magazine was dying to pump that thing out as soon as they possibly could. I would think June would have been a normal time. They probably had it arranged in advance. Okay, we got the cover ready for Brady in June, and away we go. But they sat on it, Ira, for 2 months or so. And to me, that was Tom Brady saying, I wanted to publish in the dead time of the NFL so I can get maximum exposure on me and so I can tell my teammates that maybe, like I mentioned, I may be playing in 2023, which is what he said. And I want all about my exposure and the message I want to send. What do you think of that, Ira?
Brilliant analysis, Isbeth. I there's something wrong because I'm finding myself agreeing with you on this podcast way too much, way too much. Steve, what other explanation can you have for Variety, which, by the way, for people that don't know, Variety is an entertainment publication. It's like the Hollywood Reporter. Those are the two big ones. Variety and the Hollywood Reporter. What do they focus on? Movies, television, a little music. They write obits. They write about the business side of the entertainment industry, how much money movies are making. So here comes Brady doing a thing for Variety. And Steve, why else would they hold it until July if not for the explicit instructions from Brady? This is when I want it released. And if you want Brady, Steve, you're going to agree to everything the guy says, including when you're putting it to publication. Steve, here's my main point, and I need to get a laugh out of you on this podcast, and I think I will with this one. Nothing says mid-July, nothing says mid-July than a story about Brady saying, I might play in 2023, comma, or I might not, or I might not. This is one of the great non-stories I've ever seen. First of all, nobody ever said that Brady explicitly has come out and said this is his last season. Nobody's reported that. Nobody said that. What I've said on this podcast is that's what I believe. That's what the tea leaves look like. But Brady never said this is going to be his last season. So, Steve, unless you can come up with something better than what I'm hearing from Variety, You have a giant nothing burger on your hands. That's what you got. And July 15th, all of a sudden they're trying to milk that for news. I might play or I might not. Steve, what the hell am I missing here?
Ira, do you eat nothing burgers? Because I know anything with burger in it, you're usually trying to throw down.
I draw the line at turkey burger. I'm out, Steve. No turkey burger.
No, it is an orchestrated thing by Brady, and it's a beautiful thing. And you know, we don't have to revisit it on previous podcasts. I've disagreed with you that the tea leaves say Tom yes. Brady isn't playing next year. I want to see something real and concrete. So far, we've got nothing, right. other than a guy who's at the top of his game and who clearly refuses to retire. Yeah, we'll see, and we'll have some fun with that. But Brady isn't obviously trying to not make it a story. He wants the attention and the drama, and I don't know what message he's trying to send, but I really hope that Team Glazer lines up and says, Tom, we want to give you a contract for next year. Here's $50 million. If you play, you get it. If you retire, you know, that's it. I hope they do that at some point, but who knows, Ira? Who knows?
Steve, you're never miss an opportunity in this Brady affair to go right to Team Glazer and tell them how to spend their money. And of course, Isbitz, you're absolutely right. Nobody can argue with you. And you know, Steve, that by you saying that, you're not trying to say that the Glazers would be even have 5 minutes of debate about it, because you know they wouldn't, Steve. They wouldn't. They're not going to let money stand in the way of Tom Brady coming back?
No, no.
In 2023, or looking at Kyle Trask, Blaine Gabbert, or somebody, you know, off the scrap heap. You know that, Steve. That's not going to be a factor.
Well, it's also a factor, is Ira, that the Sage is coming back in 2023. So nobody worry about that. Don't worry. Sage is coming back 2023. He's not taking off in 6 months to the Bahamas where he leaves his wife in the airport and that kind of thing.
And it's not dependent on Brady's decision. It is not.
All right, Ira. Look, we are out of here. We'll be back. We got another podcast coming as we march toward training camp and the Sage holding court with all these people coming to town. And finally, you're going to get to corner these players in person. No more COVID rules at $1. So interesting times, Ira. Interesting times. And may I say that your seat at $1, they eliminated that end seat, Ira. They some sort of construction was going on there. So you now have the that premier corner suite, if you will.
So it shall be. So it shall be done.
All right, Ira, get out of here.